Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Never go to the second location. Always trust your gut.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. You are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. Residue is not just another true crime podcast, but a necessary tool for those who want to understand the dangers lurking in the real world. Residue is created, hosted, edited, researched, and produced by me, Chrissy Champagne. And now, in my weekly attempt to get you to follow, don't forget to follow this podcast. I give you a little Carole King. If you lead, I will follow. Don't forget to follow me. Wow. Okay. Yeah, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Residue Podcast, TikTok Residue Podcast, Facebook Residue, a true crime podcast, and leaving a 5-star review is the best thing you can do to help out the show. Now, before we get started, I just have to warn you, as always, listener discretion is advised. In the heart of the Las Vegas Strip at the Luxor, one show has dazzled crowds for decades. Fantasy. This is a burlesque dream known as one of the longest running shows in Las Vegas. Landing a spot in Fantasy isn't just a gig, it is a dream. And for one woman, it was everything. But the night before her big debut, she vanished. Deborah Flores Narvaez, or Debbie, was pure fire. She was a dancer, a dreamer. Her friends say that she was saucy, smart, and unstoppable. Born in Puerto Rico and raised in Baltimore, Debbie was more than just a pretty face. She was a former NFL cheerleader, a law school graduate, and had an MBA in finance. But what she wanted was the stage. At 30 years old, she left everything behind and moved to Vegas to dance. And she worked endlessly, networking, auditioning, chasing every opportunity. She even choreographed a routine with R&B star Cisco. Yeah, that's the thong song guy. And this was a massive break for Debbie. And then she finally got it, her shot at Fantasy. It was December 2010, and Debbie was set to make her debut. But the night before the show, Debbie didn't show up to rehearsal. There was no call, no text, there was nothing, and that was definitely not like Debbie. So, December 10th, 2010, the show's producer panics and calls the police, but officers brush it off. I mean, they say, Debbie hasn't been missing long, she's a grown adult, let's wait a little longer, which is just ridiculous. But her roommate knows, this isn't Debbie, something is definitely wrong. So on December 14th, a formal missing persons report is filed by Debbie's roommate, and the police start at square one. They want to know her last known location. Debbie's roommate tells detectives that Debbie was headed to her ex-boyfriend's house that night, and his name is Jason Griffith. He goes by the name Blue. And Jason was a fellow dancer performing at Cirque du Soleil at the Mirage. They had a rocky relationship. I mean, this was a once passionate relationship that became insanely tumultuous. Jason tells police that Debbie stopped by his house, but she didn't come inside. She stayed in her car. They talked for a little bit, and Debbie told Jason that she had to go meet friends. He casually adds that Debbie seemed stressed. She seemed suicidal. Now, come on, like, we all know that is a very strange thing to tell police when they just come to ask you the last time you saw Debbie. He just interjected, you know what, I only saw her for a minute and yeah, she's suicidal. Okay. Yeah, but those closest to Debbie say, no way, that is not correct information. Debbie dreamed her whole life of being in fantasy, and this was her debut. It was happening the next day. She was supposed to be at rehearsal for her debut. Surveillance footage shows Debbie leaving her apartment that night in her maroon Geo Prism. And then, silence. No phone activity, no financial transactions. Debbie didn't make any social media posts, and it's said that she was on social media quite often. She was just gone. Police consider foul play, and first they think, is this a jealous lover? This could possibly be a jealous dancer. I mean, this is a really competitive field that Debbie was in. So they learn that all of the dancers were actually looking for Debbie. They were very concerned. They were handing out their own flyers. So going through every dancer that she knew, there was nobody that was in that much competition with Debbie. Police then learn that Jason, her ex-boyfriend, Blue, had a history of violence. Jason was arrested 2 months prior for attacking Debbie. And now, he's not just an ex, he is a dangerous ex. But Jason wasn't Debbie's only troubled relationship. There was another ex named Jameel, and he had a violent past with Debbie also. Debbie had even sued Jameel and won $250,000 after a brutal breakup. When detectives talk to Debbie's sister, Celeste, she informs them that Jameel was someone that Debbie was severely afraid of. Their relationship was horrid, and they would have these awful screaming matches. They were together for a while, but by the end of summer of 2009, the relationship ended dramatically, and that is when Debbie ended up suing Jameel. I mean, Jameel sounds like the perfect suspect, right? But police go to Baltimore, and they speak with Jameel, and they find out that he was in Baltimore on the night that Debbie went missing, and it doesn't take long for police to clear Jameel. Thankfully, on December 15th, there is a break in the case. A car matching Debbie's is found abandoned. A woman calls 911 to say that there is a maroon Geo Prism outside of her home. It has been sitting there with no license plate on the back. So detectives arrive and they find that it is Debbie's car. Inside the trunk, there is her license plate and there are black leather boots that go up to the knee. And now these are the boots that Debbie can be seen wearing in the surveillance footage from her apartment complex the night she went missing. And detectives keep searching this car, but they find no blood, there's no hair, there's no bleach, there's nothing in this car that could lead them to what happened to Debbie. Police now circle back to Jason, but Jason has lawyered up. He says that he and Debbie were just casual friends. And he claims that Debbie was getting way too clingy and she couldn't accept the fact that Jason didn't want to be with her anymore. He just wanted to be friends. But detectives already know that 2 months before Debbie went missing, Jason was arrested for domestic abuse against Debbie and Jason went to jail for this incident. Detectives start asking Jason more about his relationship with Debbie, and they learn that Jason has a new girlfriend, and her name is Agnes Rue. She is also a dancer, and she is Jason's new love interest, and this is the reason that he didn't want to be with Debbie anymore. Agnès Roux was also a dancer. She was a lead dancer at Cirque du Soleil with Jason. Agnès is brought in to an interrogation to speak with detectives, and she tells them right away that she didn't know that Jason was still dating Debbie when they started dating, and Debbie didn't know that Jason was seeing Agnès. But Debbie found out. So when Debbie found out, she went to Agnès's house, parked outside, and waited to see if Jason showed up at the house. And he did. And when he showed up, the two started fighting and arguing in front of Agnès's house. And this is when the police came. And this was the domestic charge that Jason was arrested for and sent to jail. And if you haven't already figured it out, Jason is a playa. Jason is a fuckboy. He has more women, even more than just Agnès and Debbie. So police clear Agnès and they get a search warrant to search Jason's home. When they do, they find absolutely no evidence of a crime in his residence. So they are still at a loss. On December 21st, this is 9 days after Debbie vanished, police hold a press conference because they literally have nothing. They need the public's help. 2 days after this press conference, Arizona State Police call the Vegas police. They tell them that a body of a female was found across the Arizona border on the other side of Lake Mead. Detectives go to the scene, and this is about 30 miles east of Las Vegas. The body that was found was so severely burned that there was no way to identify if this was Debbie. After the body was sent to the medical examiner, it was revealed that this was not Debbie. The body was actually a local madam for an illegal Korean brothel. Now, I looked more into this because just hearing that whole statement, a madam of an illegal Korean brothel was burned and left in the desert, I had to look it up. So I found an article in the Las Vegas Review Journal, and this article was from January 19th, 2011. It states that two Las Vegas men were indicted on murder charges in the December slaying of their brothel owner and boss over a $9,000 debt. Authorities said the two men strangled and beat Young Park with a wrench and then burned her body on the Arizona side of the Hoover Dam. They tried burning her body first with lighter fluid, and that didn't work. So they went back the next day and used gasoline to burn Young Park. And the two men burned her body because she was an undocumented illegal immigrant, and they hoped authorities would not be able to identify her. But one of her hands was undamaged in the fire, so this allowed investigators to thankfully identify her. January 5th, 2011, detectives get a tip. An ex-girlfriend of Jason stated that Jason asked her to store something for him. Now, she says that Jason shows up at her home with a U-Haul. First of all, if that was me, you better back that fucking U-Haul up, because nothing, you are storing nothing in my home, Mr. Ex-boyfriend. Anyway, Jason showed up with his roommate, who was named Louis Colombo. Louis Colombo is this like 6'5", 400 pound dude. So the ex-girlfriend sees the two of these guys coming up her driveway, and she's like, what exactly am I storing inside of my house? And he opens the U-Haul, and inside is this large tub. And in the articles and in the documentary series that I watched, they always refer to this as a tub. I'll just let you know, it's a Rubbermaid bin. It looks like one of those large Rubbermaid bins. So he shows the ex-girlfriend the bin, and she says, what's inside of it? And Jason says to her, you don't need to know what's inside of it. And that's when she's like, okay, back your truck out of my driveway and please leave, because you're not storing anything inside of my house if you're not going to tell me what's inside of it. And he looks this girl dead in the eye and he says, it's Debbie. And this ex-girlfriend tells police that she screamed and she was like, get out of here, get out of my house right now. This happened on December 15th. So this was 3 days after Debbie went missing. This ex-boyfriend shows up to this girl's house and he tells her he needs to store Debbie in her home. And she says nothing to police. She just tells Jason to leave. She doesn't take the bins. But 3 weeks go by before she calls in a tip and tells police that this happened. Of course, they ask her why she waited so long to say something, but she tells them that she is deathly afraid of Jason, and especially Louis. Louis's huge. She was like, I didn't know what they would do to me, and I got scared, and I had to work up the courage to call someone. So now police know that anywhere from December 12th to December 16th, Jason has rented a U-Haul. So they get right on that. They go to every U-Haul. They try to get Jason on surveillance footage renting this U-Haul, and they get it. They confirm that it was Jason and Louis who rented this U-Haul on December 14th, and they had to return it by December 16th at midnight. So they're going to go and find Louis. And when detectives bring Louis in, they tell him that they can make this worth his while if he cooperates. And so Louis just folds quickly, starts spilling everything, tells them the entire story. Louis says that the night Debbie went missing, Debbie wanted to hang out with Jason, but Jason said, "No, not tonight. I'm seeing Anya's tonight," and a fight starts. And this gets violent. This fight is so violent that Louis has to walk in on them and break it up. And when he does walk in, he sees Jason with his hands around Debbie's throat. And he had his hands so tight around her throat that when he finally got Jason to release, Debbie couldn't even speak. Her voice was scratchy. And so Louis tells them to stop, to calm down, and everything seems calm for a while. I think Louis stays in the apartment with them for about an hour. He says everything felt calm, so he left the house to go meet his girlfriend, to spend the night with his girlfriend. And as he's driving around with his girlfriend, he gets a text from Jason that says, "Do not bring your girlfriend back to our apartment because you need to drop her off at home and come home because I have something to tell you and you need to help me with something." When Louis arrives back to the apartment, he says everything's dark, everything's quiet, and then he notices Debbie on the floor. She is laying on the floor with her arms stretched out and there is a plastic bag over her head. Louis says that he becomes violently ill. He is disgusted. He doesn't know what to do. He runs to the bathroom. He starts throwing up. Jason is trying to explain to him that he only put the plastic bag on Debbie's head because he wanted to see if she was still breathing. Then he tells Louis that he better get himself together because they gotta clean some stuff up now. Louis tells detectives that the first thing they did was hide Debbie's car. And then they got all of her belongings together and they hid those. Then Jason insisted they're going to need to get rid of the body now. They wrap her up and they put her in one of the Rubbermaid plastic bins. And then Jason goes to the hardware store to buy concrete. And then they bring that concrete home and they pour it over Debbie's body. Jason then tries to store this bin at another ex-girlfriend's house, not even the same one from earlier. Louis tries to carry this bin into this other ex-girlfriend's house, but as he gets inside, it's too heavy. He drops it, it falls to the ground, and it breaks. And Louis describes it as fluid going everywhere. So they have to have a plan B now. So they leave this Rubbermaid bin in the middle of this woman's living room. Now, I do just want to point out, I believe this woman's home was unoccupied. So she wasn't there. It wasn't like she was living in this bungalow that they wanted to store this bin inside of. Louis describes it as an abandoned house and also Jason's ex-girlfriend's house. So the two go back to the hardware store. They buy hammers, chisels, cleaning supplies. And then they go back to the home. They break down the concrete and they mutilate Debbie's body. They cut her in half. They put her torso in one tub and they put her legs in another tub. And then they take these tubs and they put them in the closet. And they use caulk to close up that closet door. And I'm going to post pictures of what this looked like because they're not hiding anything in there. This looks very suspicious, the way they tried to hide these bins or tubs. Louis led detectives to an abandoned house downtown. And inside of a closet, they find the tubs. And inside of those tubs, they find Debbie and her body encased in cement, mutilated. The autopsy confirmed that Deborah Flores Narvaez died by strangulation. Jason Griffith, Debbie's ex-boyfriend, was arrested. And on May 5th, 2014, nearly 4 years later, his trial begins. Louis Colombo testifies for the prosecution in a deal that would reduce his charges. And the jury deliberates for only 2 days. Jason is found guilty, but not of first-degree murder. He is found guilty of second-degree, and he is sentenced to 10 years to life. It will make you happy to know that in 2020, Jason had his first parole hearing and he was denied. Debbie Flores was just days away from living her dream. She was brilliant, beautiful, determined. Debbie lived to dance. It's how she moved through the world. She had rhythm, she had fire, she had a purpose, and in the end, the very legs that carried her across countless stages were just cut from her body. Jason tried to bury her away in silence, hidden away like a secret meant to be forgotten. But telling this story, we remember. We remember Debbie, the dancer, the dreamer, and the life she never got to finish living. If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence, call 1-800-799-7233. Thank you for joining me on this week's episode of Residue. I do appreciate you all so very much. And don't forget to stay safe and stay paranoid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.